So we have a 47-year-old woman. She's had back pain for 3 weeks, non-smoker, non-drinker. And then they tell you the serum biochemistry and protein electrophoresis are unremarkable. And she has some lytic lesions in the spine. So what's the most likely diagnosis? So first, we'll just look at the answer choices sequentially here. Okay, avascular necrosis. This is classically going to appear, I would say, in four scenarios in USMLE. The first will be pediatrics, which is idiopathic avascular necrosis of the femoral head. That's called leg calf perthes. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Don't care. But leg calf perthes or perths, that's idiopathic avascular necrosis of the femoral head. In pediatrics, they'll give you a limp, 5 to 10 years old, a kid, painful limp. Okay, and that's going to be leg calf perthes. Avascular, that's the first high yield cause for USMLE. Second would be sickle cell causing avascular necrosis of the femoral head. They could just give you a similar age, 10-year-old girl with sickle cell, and she's got hip pain, painful limp, and that's going to be avascular necrosis. Where they could have avascular necrosis, and then they could have leg calf perths under it. And students are like, wait, I thought leg calf perthes was avascular necrosis, though. It is, but that leg calf perthes is idiopathic, right? Whereas sickle cell just causes straight up, it's a known cause. So avascular necrosis as an answer would be better than leg calf perths where there is not a known cause. I would say Gaucher, that can all, Gaucher, glycogen storage disease, sorry, not glycogen, lysosomal storage disease. Okay, that's a deficiency of glucose cerebrosidase, leading to a buildup of glucose cerebroside that can cause avascular necrosis of the femoral head. Okay, and so there's actually five high yield causes. So that's the third. So leg calf perthes, sickle cell, Gaucher, lysosomal storage disease, and then I would say Cushing's disease slash syndrome, where you have increased cortisol slash exogenous glucocorticoid, e.g., prednisone. That's probably the highest yield cause of avascular necrosis of the femoral head on USMLE. No reason to assume that here. And then finally, avascular necrosis of the scaphoid bone. That's really high yield, where you fall on an outstretched arm. There's pain over the anatomical snuff box, and that's classic for scaphoid fracture. And you have to, the X-ray will be negative, and if you don't splint with a thumb or cast with a thumb spica cast, even if the X-ray is negative, in 3 weeks you can get avascular necrosis of the scaphoid. So you have to splint for 3 weeks and then re-X-ray after that. So those are five causes of avascular necrosis in USMLE. No relations here. We're not instantaneously eliminating, but just so far it doesn't sound like it's the answer, right? Now, I'll just go sequentially. So metastatic malignancy, that's actually going to be our answer here. And we've got a woman who has lytic lesions, metastases. They can go to anywhere, pretty much anywhere in the body, and they're going to cause localized cytokine reaction. That's high yield for step one. Okay, so they'll give you mets. Like they could ask you, rather than what's the diagnosis, they could say, like, she has history of breast cancer, and then they would ask you, like, what's the most likely mechanism for the lytic lesions? And you're like, huh? You're like, well, it's just mets, right? But the answer would be like increased IL-1 activity or increased cytokine activity. So that's what the mets cause at the bone, is increased cytokine activity. That's actually the mechanism for osteoporosis as well. Like, e.g., postmenopausal, estrogen normally suppresses cytokine activity at bone, mainly IL-1, IL-6. IL-1 is known as osteoclast activating factor, I believe is another name for it. But osteoporosis, they want you to know there's increased cytokine activity at bone, which will promote increased RANK expression, RANK L and RANK expression relative to OPG. So estrogen normally suppresses the cytokine activity and will increase your OPG to RANK ratio. So that's just a little bit of like tangential factoid that's high yield for you, is knowing that mets to bone and osteoporosis, USMLE insidiously likes increased cytokine activity. So multiple myeloma, some students will say, but why is that wrong? Like, isn't that classically back pain in someone who's like middle-aged, older, right, with lytic lesions? Like, why couldn't that be right? It's because serum protein electrophoresis would show an M protein spike of IgG kappa, or just IgG, okay? No reason to get complicated with it. Multiple myeloma is a plasma cell disorder. So you have plasma cells secreting, it's a cancer of plasma cells, okay? So they're secreting immunoglobulin light chains. They're not functional immunoglobulins, okay, but they're immunoglobulin light chains. Immunoglobulins are proteins. So they're going to be picked up on serum protein electrophoresis. And that's a classic, that's your for step two material, that's your next best step in diagnosis. Like, if it sounded like classic multiple myeloma, then the next best step in management slash diagnosis would be serum protein electrophoresis, okay? And then if they told you the serum protein electrophoresis shows like the M protein spike, like the IgG spike, you could go on and do a bone marrow biopsy looking for plasma cells greater than 10%, okay? But the serum protein electrophoresis here is normal, so multiple myeloma is ruled out. I should also make a comment. This is like a little bit like, ooh, wow, a little bit tricky. But the serum biochemistry, including that means electrolytes, is normal, because in both metastatic malignancy and multiple myeloma, calcium is classically elevated. So whilst we can say, well, hypercalcemia is classic for multiple myeloma, and isn't that also a reason it's not the answer? Yeah, but metastatic malignancy, truthfully, and I've made other questions on this, we do expect high calcium. Like, if they forced you into a position where you had to choose arrows for calcium and PTH and all these other things, for metastatic malignancy, you're going to choose an up arrow for calcium, okay? And here, it's like, ooh, wow, it's normal. And that's fine, because we're forced to choose an answer, and metastatic malignancy is going to be our best answer because we've ruled out multiple myeloma. And urine would show Benz-Jones proteins, okay? You can get high ESR. That's really classic, erythrocyte sedimentation rate. That's because the immunoglobulin light chains are going to stick to the RBCs, make the RBCs sticky, and then the RBCs stick together. And then they sediment as these rouleaux or roulet formation, okay? You've probably seen that in resources before. Osteoporosis, as I just mentioned, like, this is classic in terms of women who are a bit older. She's premenopausal, presumably, okay? There's no reason to assume that she has osteoporosis here. And osteoporosis isn't usually lytic lesions. It's just diffuse decreased bone density of the spine and hip. That's classic, okay? They don't really describe it as lytic lesions. So it's easy to conflate the descriptions here. And hence, that's why it's a distractor. It's because some students are like, wait, couldn't that be osteoporosis? But they don't describe it as lytic lesions. They would just say decreased bone density. There's increased trabeculation of the bone. Or they'll just say bone densitometry shows a decreased density of spine or hip. And I should point out that all your electrolytes are normal for osteoporosis. So your calcium, phosphate, PTH, ALP, all normal. Renal osteodystrophy. There's no reason to assume that she has renal failure of any kind, okay? Renal osteodystrophy, this is where you get vitamin D deficiency because the kidney is not able to carry out that 1-alpha hydroxylation of 25D3 into 125D3 via the action of PTH. So you get activated vitamin D deficiency. You can't take in calcium, can't absorb calcium through the small bowel. And this will lead ultimately to osteomalacia. So renal osteodystrophy just means any bone problem secondary to renal failure. It's been to my observation on NBME material that this is essentially synonymous with osteomalacia for NBME, where they'll give you renal failure and then they'll say, they'll give you a hip problem. And then the answer is just osteomalacia. They like pseudofractures as well. Pseudofractures is a term that is specific. Maybe I shouldn't say specific, but yeah, it's pretty specific for osteomalacia. If you see that term pseudofracture, that refers to vitamin D deficiency osteomalacia. But that's there's no reason to assume it here. She's not on dialysis. They don't mention high BUN. They don't mention high creatinine. Okay, so it's not renal osteodystrophy. So going back, metastatic malignancy. This is how cancer presents sometimes insidiously, and it's unfortunate. Okay, there doesn't need to be. Fever, night sweats, weight loss, the B symptoms. Sometimes there are going to, if you do any oncology rotations, there are going to be some patients where it comes as a shock this way, where all of a sudden they have metastatic malignancy, whereas like just an hour ago, they were totally fine with their lives. So, I've done enough discussion of this question, pretty long-winded, but this came down to metastatic malignancy versus multiple myeloma, and we've distinguished, okay? We've ruled out multiple myeloma here. The serum protein electrophoresis was normal. That's it.